Hello, this is Dave with the News Gazette for Saturday and Sunday's edition of June 21st, 2026. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, It's a Weekend Special, History Provides Context. U of I and partners launch CU Asian American Heritage Trail. This is by Jana Wersima. Urbana. In 1872, the University of Illinois saw its first Asian student arrive on campus from Japan to study architecture, according to Kanitha Fay, assistant director of the U of I Asian American Cultural Center. Since then, U of I alumni of Asian descent have included YouTube co-founders Steve Chen and Jawed Karim, filmmaker Ang Lee, Flexengate founder Shahid Khan, and actress Arden Cho, who was the speaking voice of Rumi in K-pop Demon Hunters, said David Chia, senior director of the Cultural Center. He also noted that Asian and Asian American individuals now account for over 40% of the university's student population and over 13% of Champaign-Urbana's population. As a way to honor these communities' more than 150-year history in the area, the Asian American Cultural Center, the School of Social Work, the Champaign County Historical Archives, and other partners have created the Champaign-Urbana Asian American Heritage Trail. Learning our history is important because it helps us better understand the communities where we live, work, and learn, said Kevin Tan, Associate Dean of the School of Social Work. History provides context for people's lived experiences, fostering empathy, awareness, and a deeper appreciation of both the challenges and contributions of diverse communities. An inaugural tour was held May 1, the first day of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander Heritage Month, with participants visiting the Sri Maha Saraswati Hindu Temple Cultural Center, the Refugee Center, and Far East Grocery in Champaign, which Chi said is the longest continuously running Asian grocery store in Champaign-Urbana. The store at 5th and Clark Streets opened in the late 1970s and has been owned by married couple Hong Tran and Kyung Dip since 1987, Fay said. Manager Vivia Deep, who was born and raised in Champaign, said her parents are both from Vietnam but fled the country. Her father went to Malaysia and was later brought to the United States by his foster mother. Deep's mother went to the Philippines and Hong Kong. Her church later sponsored her move to the States. The couple bought Far East Grocery from a Taiwanese family. When asked what the store means to people, Deep said, it's home away from home, and she often hears customers say that her parents remind them of their own. When you need something, you come and you look for them, she said. It's also a place where customers can find ingredients that might not be available at a typical grocery store. Deep said the Heritage Trail project is absolutely amazing. It gives a little tour of all these places that people probably have never seen before or even heard of, and you get a little bit of background of these places, she said. I've had people come into the store and they didn't even know about us. On the other hand, Diop herself didn't know about the Hindu temple until she heard it was on the tour. Chi said that each location on the May 1 tour emphasized a different story within the broader Asian American experience in our community. The idea for the trail came out of the School of Social Work's Learning Our History initiative, which began in 2022 when then Dean Steve Anderson asked TAN to look into ways that social justice could be integrated into the curriculum. Grounded in the profession's person-environment perspective, the initiative helps faculty and students understand the historical context that shaped communities and lived experiences, TAN said. Since its inception, faculty from multiple campus units have also attended these local history learning sessions. During an appearance on News Gazette Radio, TAN said the new project is also inspired by the success of the Champaign County African American Heritage Trail, which has been facilitated by the Experience Champaign-Urbana Foundation and co-chaired by Barbara Suggs Mason and Angela Rivers. Partnerships with former co-leaders of the African American Heritage Trail and ongoing exploration of local history made organizers realize that there was an opportunity to do something similar for the Asian American community, TAN said. However, he noted that the Champaign-Urbana Asian American Heritage Trail is still in its infancy. Unlike the Champaign County African American Heritage Trail, which has established historical markers and a well-developed public presence, we are still uncovering and documenting many of these stories, he said. Over time, we hope to expand the trail to different sites and make these histories more accessible to the broader public, potentially through digital resources and other educational initiatives. In the early stages of development, we really enjoyed interviewing longtime residents of our community to uncover more stories of our past, while also researching local archives with the support of the Champaign County Historical Archives, Chi said. During this research, organizers found that one of the earliest Asian-owned businesses in the area was Mandarin Inn, a Chinese restaurant that opened in 1919 in downtown Champaign. Champaign-Urbana is now home to dozens of Asian-owned businesses, Chi said. In July 2025, the city's Chinese food scene was highlighted in the New York Times, with the outlet calling the campus area a little Chinatown on the prairie. Participants on the May 1 tour enjoyed refreshments from Asian-owned restaurants Bakil Lab and Golden Walk, Fei said. As the project continues, organizers plan to share more information about the trail on the Asian American Cultural Center's website and on the center's social media accounts, Chi told the News Gazette. We will continue researching and documenting the histories of Asian and Asian American communities in Champaign-Urbana, he said. We hope to expand both the number of locations included on the trail and the depth of understanding surrounding the experiences, contributions, and journeys of Asian Americans in our community. On a campus as diverse as ours, learning local histories can strengthen relationships across differences and create opportunities for meaningful dialogue, TAN said. While the Asian American Heritage Trail highlights the experiences and contributions of Asian Americans, we hope it also inspires greater curiosity about the histories of other communities. By learning one another's stories, we deepen understanding, build stronger connections, and recognize our shared humanity. Continuing on the front page from Mohammed Seymour Schools, article titled, Officials Say New Junior High Can Be Built Without Higher Tax Rate. Survey launched on three potential plans. This article is by Jana Wersima, Muhammad. After 4 years of discussions and three failed tax hike referendums, Mohammed Seymour School District officials say they're now able to build a new junior high without raising the tax rate. The district is seeking the community's input on building plans, including a new junior high on South Mohammed Road that would accommodate 900 students and could open in fall of 2029. The work would be funded by an $84 million bond. Right now, at Mohammed Seymour Junior High, we've got about 200 more students than the building was built for in there, Superintendent Kenny Lee said on News Gazette Radio. And, as you know, we've got portable units behind the building that the students come in and out of all day. We don't have restrooms in those and things of that nature, which is fine on a day like today, but obviously our winter months here can be pretty treacherous. The district previously sought to fund construction by increasing its property tax rate, but voters shot down three different referendums in 2022 and 2024. The Board of Education and our administrative team never stopped working to find a solution to overcrowding and aging buildings, Lee said. Our strategy is to prioritize pre-K through 8 facilities where the need is greatest and implement improvements at a pace taxpayers can support. Officials pointed to Mohammed Seymour Junior High as a facility with particularly urgent needs, as the 65-year-old building was designed for 615 students, but now houses 811. That was the most among area middle schools and junior highs last year, according to a News Gazette survey of 138 public schools across 8 counties. The district also has the elementary school with the largest student body, Lincoln Trail, at 790. In addition to using portable classrooms, Lee said the junior high has turned 3 of its classrooms into 6 learning spaces through the use of temporary walls. We'll have anywhere from 25 to 30 students in each one of those half classrooms, he said, and then anything that's a fairly good-sized broom closet or something of that nature, generally speaking now, is a spot that we've got staff in, school psychologists, things like that. Now, for the first time, overcrowding can be addressed without raising the district's tax rate due to the alignment of various factors, officials said. These include retiring debt, rising county sales tax revenue, and local economic growth. The district's analysis indicates that construction of a new building would cost roughly the same as a full renovation of the current facility, which also has a failing roof and HVAC issues, while also reducing disruption for students. Administrative offices would move into the current junior high building at 201 West State Street as part of the proposal. The district also wants residents' thoughts on whether it should pursue additional facilities projects in tandem with the proposed new junior high building. A new junior high is possible without raising the district tax rate, officials said. Of everything we're weighing, it's the most pressing need and the most sensible place to start. Should we take on more while we're at it? That deserves a say from the people who would fund it. Issuing a bond for just the new junior high is option one. Option two is to construct a new junior high and a multi-purpose addition at Lincoln Trail Elementary for physical education. This would mean a bond of $98 million for the two projects, which would be estimated to raise the property tax bill on a $350,000 home by about $191 annually, or about $16 a month. On the other hand, option three would require a $127 million bond and raise the tax bill on a $350,000 home by about $498 annually, or $4,150 per month. This option includes the new junior high, the multi-purpose addition at Lincoln Trail, along with classroom additions and updates to the school's library, cafeteria, and building systems. The work is estimated to increase Lincoln Trail's capacity by 200 students. Converting administrative space at Middletown Prairie Elementary into instructional and student support space. Lincoln Trail, which was built in 1967, houses 790 third to fifth grade students in a building designed for 722. This has led the district to turn storage rooms, offices, and meeting spaces into classrooms, officials said. Space is so limited that students only have PE class once per week instead of 3 days as required by state law. This is because of the space issue with just one multi-purpose room for the gymnasium, Lee said. We've been granted a waiver, but it's not a permanent fix. We'll have to reapply for that if things don't change. Those are good for 5 years. More information and a link to a public survey is available at bit.ly/msfacilitiesupdate. With district officials stating that they would like the community's input before making any decisions. The survey is estimated to take less than 5 minutes, and responses are anonymous. Responses must be submitted by July 6th. Results will be shared with the school board to inform decision making. Community feedback was clear about previous plans. Building improvements should happen in a focused and logical order, based on need, district officials said. Here's the vision. The junior high is the most urgent need. From there, the vision is to address Muhammad Seymour's pre-K through 8 buildings, where increased enrollment is already creating challenges over the next several years as funding becomes available. The high school is further on the horizon once more immediate needs are met. One step at a time, in the right order. Continuing inside the front page, we have Top of the Morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rossell. How happy was Winston to land the role of Goose Pup at the Urbana Country Club? So excited I could barely keep my paws on the ground, the 10-week-old German short-haired pointer said. New job, 18 holes designed by Drew Rogers, and the opportunity to chase geese. I did at least a billion zoomies before I even got my official collar on. It was the best day ever. Winston will spend the next year training with his owner, Assistant Superintendent Timar Kum, who was happy to arrange our interview with the frisky four-legged little guy who General Manager Scott White said brings a lot of energy and life to the grounds crew. What's the best strategy in keeping geese off the course? You've got to patrol like you mean it. Heads up, ears ready, and when they land, you give a firm reminder that this is not their hangout spot. Among the house rules, no playing fetch, no clubhouse access, etc. This one has to be really tough on you. No treats. No treats? All the reward I need is keeping all geese away, which is the biggest reward of them all. Plus, I get all the scratches and the occasional good boy, which means way more than wasted calorie intake. What's the best thing about your trainer, Tim? He is a good hang, throws a mean ball, and is super patient even when I'm about to do something questionable. What are some of the perks of the job? Unlimited outdoor time, cart rides, and all the naps I want, plus everyone knowing how important I am, which feels very VIP. And in history, area history, in 1926, relying on a pair of stout legs and a pleasant personality to win him lifts from accommodating automobilist William Richardson, 17, a senior at Urbana High School next year, covered the distance between Urbana and Waterloo, New Hampshire, in 5 days. his parents received daily postcards sent to their home at 103 South McCullough Avenue from Indianapolis, Columbus, Hartford, Boston, and finally Waterloo. This will be the third summer for Richardson to work on the New Hampshire land of George Colby, where they farm the old-fashioned way, cutting with a scythe and raking by hand. In 1976, amid an investigation of allegations against House Democrat leader Gerald Shea, the Illinois House voted 126-5 to set up new rules governing the discipline of members accused of misconduct, which would govern any further proceedings against Shea once the investigation is concluded, Representative John R. Lauer, Republican Lincoln, said that in adopting the rules, the House might be creating a monster, but he said they're necessary so any member knows what the procedures will be if he is accused of misconduct. In 2011, unseasonably hot days this month have boosted pool attendance numbers in area cities. That's very good news to communities that have recently devoted thousands of dollars during tough budget years to keep their aging pools open, or have pledged much more to build new aquatic facilities, despite rising operation and maintenance costs and unfunded government-mandated safety improvements. And continuing with our communities, from the Champaign Police, article titled, Two Teens Arrested in Fatal Shooting. Second victim still hospitalized. This is by Jana Wersema, Champaign. A 16-year-old and a 14-year-old have been arrested in connection with a Monday night shooting in Northwest Champaign that left one teenage boy dead and another injured. Two teens were arrested Thursday during the execution of a search warrant in the 1600 block of Cruising Lane, Champaign police said. They face multiple charges, including first-degree murder, attempted murder, and aggravated battery with a firearm. These charges are reviewed by prosecutors and may be amended, upgraded, or reduced, police said. Two other search warrants were also executed in connection with the investigation. A 17-year-old male victim is still in the hospital recovering from gunshot wounds to the torso. Officers were dispatched at 9:31 p.m. on Monday to the intersection of North McKinley Avenue and Paula Drive for a reported shooting and quickly found him at the scene. Police were notified of a possible second victim nearby and found a 16-year-old male about a half block north in the 1500 block of North McKinley Avenue. He was taken to the hospital where he succumbed to his injuries. Champaign police remained in the area for several hours. Their investigation indicates that the victims were walking in the 1500 block of North McKinley when two people began shooting at them, police said. The investigation remains ongoing, with officers canvassing the subject area for witnesses and video footage. Anyone with additional information is asked to contact Champaign police at 217-351-4545. Arrangements can be made for information to be shared privately. Those wishing to remain anonymous can contact Champaign County Crime Stoppers at 217-373-8477 or 373tips.com. Information submitted to Crime Stoppers is completely anonymous. Calls are routed to a third-party national call center that receives the information, completes a form, then passes the tip to the appropriate law enforcement agency. Caller ID tracking is not used and conversations are not recorded. From the Urbana Police, article titled, Suspect Fires Shot While Robbing Circle K. This is by Luke Taylor. Urbana police are investigating an armed robbery Friday morning at a gas station in the northeastern part of the city. Police said that at 4:55 a.m., officers were called to the Circle K at 1809 North Cunningham Avenue for a report of an armed robbery. On scene, they learned that a man entered the store and demanded an employee open the cash register. The man fired a shot inside the business, but no one was hit and no injuries have been reported, police said. The suspect fled out the north door of the business, and detectives believe he likely traveled west after that. He was described as wearing all black clothing, black shoes, a black ski mask, and black and gray gloves. He was also carrying a black backpack. The incident is under investigation. Anyone with information is encouraged to contact Urbana Police at 217-384-2320. Residents in the area are asked to review surveillance or doorbell camera footage and contact police if they observe any suspicious activity or vehicles. Those wishing to remain anonymous can contact Champaign County Crime Stoppers at 217-373-8477 or 373tips.com. And from Kathy Reiser's mailbag, the question is, what's being built just east of Champaign Fire Station 6 along West Windsor Road? Answer is, the City of Champaign's building permits database tells us a multifamily residential building is under construction at 2409 South Fields South Drive, just east of the Windsor Road Fire Station. The permit lists the property owner as Regency Consolidated Residential, John Graham. Wells and Wells Construction is the general contractor, and Andrew Fell Architecture and Design filed the application. The three-story building will include 14 dwellings, 12 one-bedroom units, and 2 two-bedroom units. Total cost of improvements is listed at nearly $2.338 million. The next question is, I know several people who filed their federal income tax electronically because they were told they'd get their large refund in just 3 weeks. It's been nearly 3 months now, and repeated calls to the IRS are not answered at all. What gives? Well, I submitted an inquiry to the IRS Media Relations Office asking if the agency is experiencing more delays in the processing of returns this year. I did get a quick answer, but it did not directly address the reader's question. If a taxpayer has already tried checking the Where's My Refund tool and calling customer service, they can try making an appointment at their local taxpayer assistance center to get in-person help, said IRS spokesperson Robin Capehart. The Taxpayer Advocate Service site may also provide assistance. Earlier this week, I submitted a follow-up inquiry requesting an answer to the question about delays and have not heard back. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette for the Saturday and Sunday, June 21st, 2026. Please stay tuned.